Does everybody know the story of Joseph? Okay. Well, in case people who don't know, I'm going to go over it. So Joseph was the youngest son of Jacob. We know who Jacob is, right? Remember, he worked for his wife for so many years. So he was the youngest son, and because he was the youngest, he was kind of favored more than all of them. And so his brothers kind of disliked him. And he had some dreams, you know the dreams about they're all going to bow down to him. And because of that, his brothers just liked him more. And he had two of those dreams about the same thing. And so his brothers were kind of like, man, this kid Joseph, he thinks he's all that. I don't like him that much. So one day his father told him to go check on his brothers that's in his land, see if they're working. So Joseph's like, okay. So he went and he was walking, you know, just doing his thing. And he got to his land, his father's land, and they weren't there. He saw a man in the distance. He walked over. He was like, hey, have you seen my brothers? They said, oh, yeah, they're over there playing a few miles away or whatever. So, okay, thank you. He went there, and his brothers saw him from a far distance, and they're like, oh, there's Joseph, the snitch. He was like, they're like, all right, what should we do, guys? What should we do? And I'm guessing they all plotted, oh, let's kill him, let's kill him. But his older brother, Reuben, was like, why are we going to kill him? Look, there's a well over there. Why don't we just throw him in the well? So they're like, all right, fine, we're not going to kill him. We're going to throw him in the well. All right. So they got him. I'm guessing it wasn't a difficult fight because it was 12 against 1. So I'm guessing they grabbed him. They probably threw him on the ground, ripped his coat off. They threw him in a hole. And at this point, Joseph's probably like, ah, ha, ha, guys, funny joke. Take me out the hole now. But they didn't. I'm guessing they went off for 3 hours, continued to play while he was in the hole, just by himself. While they were coming back, they saw some people that were going to Egypt, and they sold Joseph, right, for 20 shekels, which I'm guessing is a little bit of money because 20 shekels, it sounds like coins, so it's probably like maybe $20 at least. So they sold him, and when he got to Egypt, a guy named Pharaoh bought him, right? And I'm guessing he bought him for a lot more than 20 shekels because it don't matter. So he bought him, and he was a good worker, right? Pharaoh saw he was a good worker. He was working clean. You know, he was doing everything he was supposed to, and he got moved up to, I think, like the top of the slaves in Pharaoh's household, like the governor of his household. And then things started going downhill again, right? You know, his wife saw Joseph. He was like, man, it's a nice-looking guy over there, right? So his wife went over, and he was like, hey, Joseph, you know, why don't you come over to my room? You know, we could just have some fun, you know? And Joseph was like, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. He was like, what? Who do you think you are turning me down? So she got mad and ripped her clothes, probably slapped some dirt on her to make it look more believable, and ran over to Pharaoh and was like, look what your servant Joseph did to me. He was like, and you know Pharaoh probably didn't believe her, my bad. Probably didn't believe her. He was like, Joseph has God. How would he do this? Why would he do this? But so he didn't, what's the word? Like, make his wife seem like a liar. He threw Joseph in jail. Joseph was in jail for, I guess, a few years at least, right? Because, you know, things were going bad again. But he met two people that used to work for Pharaoh, yeah. Oh, my bad. Potiphar was the guy that Joseph worked for. Okay? I want to make that clear. That was on me. So, Potiphar, right? He met some guys that used to work for Pharaoh, right? His guy who made him his bread and the guy who poured his wine or his drinks, whatever Pharaoh liked back then. So he worked for them, and they had dreams, right? One of the dreams, I can't remember the dreams, that's my bad. Sorry, should have studied more. But they had dreams, And it ended up to where the guy who gave him bread was going to get out of jail and be killed, and the guy with the wine was going to get his job back. So the guy with the wine, when he was getting taken out of jail, Joseph was like, hey, don't forget about me. Remember, I helped you. If you happen to talk to Pharaoh, you know, kind of, you know, try to get me out of here. He was like, oh, yeah, I promise, I promise. So I'm guessing a few years went by, and Pharaoh had this dream, and he had his wisest men. He was talking to him. He was like, y'all can't tell me what this dream means? I thought y'all supposed to be the wisest men. Y'all acting dumb right now. So he was like, oh, I met a guy in jail. His name is Joseph, and he was able to tell me my dream that I was going to get my job back after I got out of jail. He was like, oh, really? Really? Okay, okay. Well, how about you go get him then? So he sent him and his guards to get Joseph, and they took him out. They brought him. And Joseph was, I'm guessing Joseph prayed before this because, you know, everything comes from Jesus or God. And he prayed, and then he was like, all right, tell me your dream. So he told him his dream, and the dream was the 7 skinny cows are going to eat the 7 fat cows, right? And I'm guessing for everybody else in that room, it didn't quite make sense. Like, how is a skinny cow, how's a cow going to eat a cow, first off, right? But, you know, Joseph was like, oh, I got this, I got this. So he was like, it means that we're going to have 7 years that our plants are going to grow. It's going to be amazing, great food. But we're going to have 7 years where we're going to have no food. The land's going to be dry. It's just not going to be very good. He was like, so what should we do then? And he said, let's save food. Let's plant as much food as we can. Let's save as much as we can so that when the drought comes or the famine comes, that we'll have food. We'll have food to give out to our people and to also keep for us. He was like, all right, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's do that. I'm guessing the 7 years went by, right? And Joseph has worked himself up in the ranks to where he was second in command of all of Egypt. Right? You go from some little kid with a colorful coat to second in command. That's kind of good, I'd say. But he went second in command, and people were coming every day to get food because there was no food. Their crops were dying. And one day his brothers came, right? Oh, he's second in command. He could have said, oh, those people, they're spies. Let's kill them, right? Just said. But he didn't. He went off and cried, and he came up with a test, right? He called them out. He said, oh, they're spies. Y'all are spies. I know y'all are spies. There's too many of y'all. He was like, no, we came from to get food for our father and for us because we have no food. Our famine, it's the famine's killing our crops. He was like, no, you're spies. Y'all are going to jail. I'm guessing he put them in jail for a few months at least, right? Trying to like, yeah, it's a payback. But eventually he took him out. Ow. He took him out. And he was like, all right, y'all probably aren't spies. So I think at that point, he was like, man, I'm supposed to be with God, right? I got to forgive them. So he forgave them, and he was probably like, I'm Joseph. Do y'all remember me? He was like, Joseph? He's like, yeah, your brother. He was like, oh, snap, it's Joseph. And so he was like, it's Joseph. How, Joseph, we thought you'd probably be lower in jail by now because you did something wrong. But he was second in command, right? And I'm going to wrap the story up, but Pharaoh was like, oh, this is your family. How about you tell all them and all their people to come? We'll give them the best land here. We'll make it good for them. But through that whole story, Joseph went through a lot of ups and downs, right? I mean, from going in a hole to being sold, to being a governor of a household, to being in jail, right? To having to work his way back up into being second in command of all of Egypt. I mean, that's a rocky life right there. But I want to talk about mainly up to where he got sold, because I think that's a big part of what happened in his life. Right, can we turn to Genesis 37, verse 2? All right. This is an account of Jacob's family line, the youngest man of 17, who was tending flocks with his brothers and sons, Baham and the sons of Zephaniah, his father, his wives, the father of his wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. All right, so he brought a bad report on his brothers. I'm sorry for y'all, I'm going kind of fast, but he brought a bad report on his brothers because they weren't doing their work in the land that they were supposed to. They were goofing around, playing around, right? So to me, I don't know how y'all would take that, but to me, that's kind of like a snitch, right? I mean, like we all, I have a sibling that's like that, but always snitching on people. But no one ever likes to snitch. So right off the bat, that makes him look like, man, all his brothers don't like him because he's a snitch. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age and he had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak kind words to him. So dang, his father, it said it right there that his father loved him more than any of the other ones, right? He favored him. He made him a robe that resembles a rainbow, right? Well, his brothers probably got a little, you know, the tan robes were probably passed down, probably one or two holes that different colors stitched into it, you know? And while Joseph's getting this robe with every color on it, resembling a rainbow, walking around looking like, you know, he's the man. Let's read 6 and 7, Genesis 37, 6 and 7. Well, hold on. I'm jumping ahead of myself. We all know the dream, right? He was binding sheaves, and he rose up, and all his other brothers, the 12 other sheaves, rose up, bowed down to him. And his brothers, when he told his brothers that dream, his brothers were like, man, what are you talking about? We're going to bow down to you? Why would we bow down to you? And, you know, I would think if I told that to my family and they reacted like that the first time, I wouldn't tell them again, right? Because he had a second dream and he told him with his dad there. It's like, and his dad was like, man, what are you talking about? So, I mean, this guy, Joseph, I mean, he's trying to prove something. But, you know, let's read Genesis 37, 9 and 10. All right, it says, I'm just going to read 10. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers come and bow down to you? He had a second dream. If you told your brothers or your family or anybody something, right, and they reacted like not so, like they're like, man, what are you talking about? Would you tell them the same thing again? Probably not. But Joseph did, because I guess what I'm thinking is he wasn't really like, he was kind of in a shell. Right, because he was his favorite. He probably stayed at home most, did the least work. He probably didn't go out into the world and see how other people would react. Right, well, he saw how his brothers reacted, but he was, sheltered. So at this point of the story, Joseph's brothers had gone, were supposed to be working on his father's land, and his dad was like, Joseph, come here. Go see what your brothers are doing. So go see if they're working and come report back. So he's like, okay, Dad. And he went to, and they weren't there. Like I said earlier in the story, they weren't there. And he was like, man, where are my brothers? He saw a man, he asked him a question to see where they were. And he went to go find them. And they threw him into a hole. You know the story. But the reason for my sermon, right, is favoritism. Because all this happened because his dad favored him more than anybody else, right? I mean, yes, he did some stuff, but all it started was favoritism. So I'm gonna go back to God right here, right? Because he's who we're supposed to, you know, look up to, resemble. If God doesn't play favorites, then why would you?
As you know, we're preaching about, or talking about, Joseph and his story of how he became the leader of Egypt, or not leader, but second in command of Egypt, right? So before we start, I want to tell you a little story, okay? That may or may not have happened. So it all started at a soccer game, all right? So we were playing a certain team. I won't say what team it is, but you can look it up later. And they were losing bad. That normally doesn't happen because our soccer team kind of sucks. But anyway, they were losing and they were kind of angry, right? And they were yelling at a certain ball boy. And that certain ball boy was my brother. And, you know, for the most part, I'm pretty, like, calm, cool, and collected, pretty easygoing, I would say anyways. But yelling at my brother and cursing at him and doing all this stuff just to get a ball, like, only I do that, all right? So anyways, he was yelling, and the game finished, we won, they lost. We were saying good game at the end of the game, you know how you're always supposed to do that. And I just asked him, like, plainly, no joke, no exaggeration, I just asked him, I said, why were you yelling at the ball boy? And he didn't even say good game. He just looked away and walked. I was like, all right, well, I guess it's done. So we finished saying good game, and we turned back. When we were turning back, it was like there are two groups. We turned, and they were all facing us. So we were walking back, and the guy kicked me. Almost hit me in the place you're not supposed to be hit. He hit me in the leg, but he almost caught something else, if you know what I'm saying. With cleats, it kind of hurt, but at the same time, it's like adrenaline. I was kind of mad, so it was like nothing. So at that point, my friend Michael, number 7, he jumped on 3 guys trying to get to number 8. That's the guy who kicked me. And then it all just broke out in war, basically. We had 2 of my friends in the middle, punching people, dragging them on the ground. And I was, number 7 ran at me again. I mean, you could kick me once, but not twice, okay? That's not gonna happen. So I kicked him before he could kick me, and then you could say I punched him. And you can see his head get knocked back in the video. And after that, he ran away, and I got tackled by 2 guys. And I hit my head on that turf. It's not nice, but yeah. So I stood up for my brother. Even though violence is not the right option, he started it, right? So you gotta finish it. I don't see how that's very bad, but anyways. So anyways, let's get back to my sermon part of the preaching. So if you turn your Bibles to Genesis 37, verse 14. And it says, then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flock. And bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. in 15. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said to him, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flock." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I have heard them saying, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found him in Dothan. Now, when they had saw him from afar, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming." Even though my brother can be a little annoying sometimes, I don't think I could dislike him enough to kill him, all right? He has more good than he does bad, okay? It says in 20, "Come therefore, let us kill him now and cast him in a pit." Maybe I'd cast him in the pit, but that's about it. Some wild beast will devour them, or will devour him. We shall see what will come of his dreams. Where was I? Now in verse 20. Oh, wait, never mind. I said that already. My bad. I would not plan to kill him anyways because he screams too much and it's a whole lot of mess, okay? So, maybe just messing around with him a little bit. That's it. Nothing too new, too extreme. It says throw him in a well or in a cistern in a certain thing that I found that was sent to me. A cistern is basically a well. It's a dry well. So they threw him in, and in verse 24, they sat down they sat down and ate their meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites. So here comes the Ishmaelites where he's going to be sold, all right? And do you know how much he was sold for? 20 shekels, yeah. And I actually looked that up to see how much it would be today, and it was $5.50. That you could barely afford a frappe at McDonald's for that much, okay? You can't even get the $7 hot and spicy bundle with the basket of fries. Like, that's not that much, okay? You know how much trouble it would be to make Dylan look nice and put him up to sell? All that gas I had to spend to bring him over there? It would not be that much worth it. And don't let Subway fool you, okay? Those footlongs are not $5. Those things are at least $15, okay? They caught me with that. I got it. I walked in there with $5. No, that was a bad idea. I'd probably make like a buck or two on Dylan. Not that much. So anyways, let's get back to the Bible. They sold him, and there he went off to Egypt. And in verse 26, or before that, before all this happened, Reuben, the oldest brother, kind of like me, oldest, said, let's not sell him. Let's throw him in the well, right? Like what we were reading. Throw him in the well. And he planned to come back and take him out, right? Judah, I believe, was, I don't know what ranking he was in the brothers, but he was a brother. And he said, let's sell him. What good is it if we kill him? So they sold him for 20 shekels, as we read. And when Reuben came back, it says in, I want to say it, verse 29, thank you. It says, Reuben returned, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And in verse 30 it says, and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. and where shall I go? So he's like, well, I don't know where he went. Where shall he go? So I'm guessing he had great regret in his heart that his brother was gone and he could not save him. He had no other place to go. I guess he didn't want to go back and face his father with the burden of him selling his brother, or his brother not being with them. So they all went back to the father, and they told his father Jacob. They said, "We found this. Can you examine it to see if it's your son's?" And he immediately recognized that was for Joseph, and it says he put a sackcloth and mourned his son for many days, and all his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused them, and said, He refused all of them, and said, "I will continue to mourn until I join him in the grave." Yeah, he's grieving a lot. I don't know how I could live with, like, lying to my parents for that long, for seeing them go through all that pain. I don't know how they did it. They must have been some pretty bad brothers. So Reuben and Judah were the only two that tried to do something other than kill him. But they didn't fully stand up, if you know what I mean. Because I don't know why, maybe they were afraid to, I guess the brothers would turn on them. So they kind of tried to slightly defer them from the idea of, but they still got rid of them. I mean, so like, it's just like when I'm gonna go, because I'm a high schooler, I'm gonna go to high school. Just like when your friends ask you about, like, my religion, they say, well, what's Seventh-day Adventist? And sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, I say, I can't eat pork, I can't eat any unclean foods, and I go to church on Sabbath. I say that, right? Because it's just so hard, they don't understand. And they asked me at lunch, we only got 30 minutes to lunch, I'm trying to eat my food, okay? but I feel like we should, or I should anyway, stand up more and stand up fully, not try to be like Reuben or Judah and just halfway stand up, because God, he died on the cross for us. That was the biggest thing you could ever do. And I believe in the Bible somewhere it says, I don't know where it is, but it says that to lay down your life for a friend is the greatest something. I don't remember. I'm sorry. That's the greatest love, right? Thank you. And so he loved us that much that he died for us, and God sent his only son to die for us. He fully stood up for us so that we could have another chance to be saved and have salvation and go to heaven with him. So I just want to say that we should stand up more, or I should anyway, stand up more for God and be nicer to your little brothers. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath also. Mine might not be as entertaining as Dwight's, but it's still about God, so. Okay, so I'm starting mine off in chapter 40, whenever Joseph gets imprisoned, and then how the chief butler and the chief baker also had gotten imprisoned as well, and they had a dream that night that each of them had one dream, and they seemed sad. So then Joseph had asked them why they looked so sad, and they said that they had dreams, but they had nobody to interpret them. And Joseph had basically said to tell them what the dream was. And the butler went first, and his was about the vine and how it had three branches on it, and basically describing how it's like the grapes sprouted out, and how he squeezed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and Joseph basically said that, my bad. He basically says that in 3 days that he will be freed and put back into his position that he was before. And then hearing the good news that the baker decided to tell him that he had a dream as well. So then the baker told him his dream about how he had baskets of baked goods all in his head and that the birds were eating from it. And Jacob had said that, or not Jacob, Joseph had said that that meant that he would be executed in 3 days, but his head hanging on a tree and the birds would eat his flesh. Not to sound too violent. But, I forgot a certain part, my bad. But before the baker told Joseph his dream, Joseph had told the butler to say, to like speak to the Pharaoh and say not to forget about him and to try and get him freed, like speaking on his behalf. But after all that happened, the big feast and all that for all the servants, that the butler got his position back and the baker got hung, the butler forgot about Joseph. So I guess this teaches us that not everybody may be as reliable and may not keep their promises as they say. But even if they don't keep their promises and that they forget about us, that God never does, and that even if the whole world just forgets about us, that God's still always there. Then I moved on to chapter 41, and this is whenever Pharaoh starts having his dreams. He has two of them. One's about how he was on a river, and he saw two sets of cows, like seven each. One of them were skinny and ugly cows, and the other were fine and fat cows. And he saw how the skinny and ugly cows were eating the fine and fat cows. And then he had a second dream about the two sets of grain or corn or whatever, wheat. How one was unhealthy and all that, and the other one was healthy, and how basically the unhealthy... basically how the unhealthy heads started eating the healthy ones. And the Pharaoh then decided to bring like anybody he could to try and interpret the dreams that he had, but he couldn't find anybody. But then the butler ended up remembering about Joseph and told him about him. So then Joseph was brought unto him and he asked him what the dreams meant. And Joseph had said that, or not Joseph, yeah. Joseph had said that this means that there would be 7 years of plenty and then it would result in 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh decided to put Joseph in charge of it, like preparing for the famine and all that. And I think that this teaches us that even though he went through all that in prison and was there for 2 years, that he was patient and trusted in God and was faithful to him and never lost hope in him. And he still remained humble even whenever he got all that power and he didn't let it change him. And after that, I moved on to chapter 42, and it's basically about how Jacob had sent his sons to Egypt to buy grain during the famine, going on in Canaan. And when they had got there, Joseph had recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. So he decides to try and test them and see that their heart had changed, and he accuses them of being spies, and then they end up getting put in prison for 3 days. He then releases them after 3 days, but he keeps Simeon hostage, and he says that to go and bring back Benjamin, their youngest brother, and they'll end up freeing them. They return home, and then they tell Jacob about it, and Jacob was reluctant at first, but then he decided to agree and let them bring him. Continuing on, I go into 43 and 44, but I combine them into one, and basically about how the sons came back with Benjamin, and they ended up freeing Simeon, and he had a big feast prepared for them. And while they were at the feast, Joseph made the steward put his silver cup inside of Benjamin's bag, and they ended up going on their way, and on their way back, they got searched, and they checked each of their sacks, and they ended up checking Benjamin's, and Benjamin's had the cup. So they got brought back to Joseph, and at first Benjamin was going to be put into prison and become a slave and all that, but then Judah decided that he tried to offer a plea deal, basically saying that he would become the slave, and Joseph took that to heart, and he decided to forgive them, and he revealed himself to him that he was Joseph, and basically he forgave them for everything that they had done to him, putting him in prison or selling him and all that other stuff. And basically I say that forgiveness is probably one of the most important parts of all this, because through everything that he was put through, he still decided to forgive them. And that basically we should be able to forgive everybody else, because if God can forgive us for every time we sin, which is a lot, like every single day we always sin, all that, and if he can forgive us even after all that, then I feel like we should be able to forgive everybody else. And that's it.